Are you tormented, my friend, distressed? Do you feel like you're going crazy? Is there violence that rises up in you and you don't know what to do about it? Do you feel like you're chained and out of your mind? Oh, beloved, come with me to the Sea of Galilee, where I'm standing on the western side of the sea with the region of the Gadarenes behind me. And let me tell you what happened when Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, went across the sea and set a man free. Matthew 8:18 says that when Jesus saw the large crowds around him, he gave orders to depart to the other side of the sea. The other side of the sea he's going to is the side, the locations of the Gadarenes. A very, very interesting story that has much to do with us. But of course, in this passage, in Matthew chapter 8, from verse 19 on down to the end of the chapter, there are many things, beloved, that can pertain to you and to me. Let's see what the scriptures say. It says, then a scribe came to him and said, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you will go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And another of the disciples said to him, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and allow the dead to bury the dead. Why was Jesus saying these things? Why did God want Matthew to record these things in the Word of God? Because remember, God does not waste his words. He's giving us truth from the Word of God so that down through the ages, there are lessons for you and for me. Before they ever depart to go to the other side of the sea, Jesus uses this incident to let people know, all right, you want to follow me, but I want you to understand that the foxes have holes and the birds have nests. But if you're going to follow me, you're going to go sometimes where the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. It's interesting, and I want to remind you what that term, the Son of Man, means. That term, the Son of Man, comes from Daniel chapter 7. And in Daniel chapter 7, it talks about the Son of Man coming up to the Ancient of Days to possess a kingdom where he's going to be given a kingdom where he will rule over all the kingdoms of this earth. But before that ever happens, there's another part to following Jesus, and that is before the crown comes the cross. In other words, if you're going to follow me, you have to understand that it is not going to be easy. If you're going to follow me, you have to understand that it is now, that it is, if necessary, a severing of every other relationship, because he must have supremacy. Now, he says to him, let me go first and bury my father. In other words, it's not that the father was dead, but it's, I want to wait. I want to follow you, but not right now. I want to wait until my father's dead because I have an allegiance to my father. And Jesus responds by saying this, let the dead bury the dead. What does he mean? If we're followers of Jesus Christ, then we have life. If we're not followers of Jesus Christ, then we have death. The Bible says that we're born dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible talks about a second death. A second death. The lake of fire is the second death. Those people are twice dead. They've been born dead in their trespasses and sins, and their life never changes. They never believe in Jesus Christ. They never follow Jesus Christ. And what he's saying is, if you're going to follow me, the time is now. If you're going to follow me, what I want you to remember is this, that it's the dead that bury the dead. You and I are about eternal life. Now, after he finished that saying, then Matthew tells us that they got into a boat, and it says, when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. They're following him. The foxes have holes, the birds have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, but it's all right. Because he walked along the shores of this Galilee, if you will remember, and he said to Peter, and he said to Andrew, his brother, follow me. He said to the sons of Zebedee, follow me. And when he followed them, they left their boat and they left their father to follow him. Now they're following Jesus across the sea. I want to ask you a question. What is your delay in following God? What is your delay in doing what God wants you to do? You say, well, I want to wait until I'm older. I want to wait until I finish my career. I want to wait until I can retire. I want to wait until I have this amount of money in the bank. And what God is saying to you today, precious one, is listen, if you're going to follow me, then it's now that I want you to follow me. Well, let's go on and see what happens. It says, they got into the boat and his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But Jesus himself was asleep. They couldn't sleep. They couldn't sleep because that boat was rocking, because the waves were coming over the edge. And it says that they came to him and woke him and said, save us, we are perishing. And Jesus said to him, why are you afraid? You men of little faith. Why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Who are they following? They're following the one who is the Son of Man. They're following the one who is the Son of God. They're following the one who is equal with the Father. And if they're following him, he's not taking them to death, but he's taking them to life. He's not taking them to the end, but he's taking them to become fishers of men. And it says, the men he rebuked, he got up and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. And the men were amazed and they said, what kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? That's a good question, isn't it? What kind of man is Jesus Christ? Is he an ordinary man? No, precious one. He is the Son of God. He is perfect man. He is the one that has been tempted and did not yield. He's the last Adam. The first Adam was tempted in a garden and he yielded to sin. The last Adam, who was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, did not yield to sin. What kind of man is this? This is the Son of Man. This is the Son of God that can speak and calm the sea, that can speak and stop the wind. This is the one that you and I are called to follow. This is the one you and I are called to give our life to. This is the one for whom we forsake everything else. This is the one that we say to, we will go wherever you tell us to go. I know you've told us it's not going to be easy. I know you've told us that the foxes have holes and the birds have nests and the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, but it's all right. It's all right because you are the Son of Man. Well, if this astounded them, if this has astounded him, that the sea would be calm and that the storm would stop, that the wind would stop, then what is going to astound him next? Well, we're going to see that when we get to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, when we get to the region of the Gadarenes. But what I want to do, beloved, is I want to stop and ask, are you afraid? What are you afraid of? Do you know that it is fear many times that keeps us from stepping out and doing the will of God? That it is fear that keeps us from following God? I remember one day when I knew that I was to go to the foreign mission field. I knew that I could literally sell everything and leave it all and follow him and he would take care of me. And that's exactly what I did. I put an ad in the newspaper and I said, I've been called by God to serve him. And everything that I own and everything that I have is for sale. And this is the time of the sale. And when they would come, I would share the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I went to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, I understood that he would provide for me. I understood who he was. I understood the message that we've already studied, that he takes care of the lilies of the field, that we do not have to be anxious about what we shall eat or what we shall drink or what we shall put on, because he has promised to supply all of our needs. We're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. Oh, beloved, my question to you today is, why are you afraid? If a storm is raging around you, if you're having financial difficulties, if you're wondering if God is going to lead and God is going to provide, I want to say to you, why are you afraid, O men, O woman of little faith? If you've left all to follow him, you can know and you can understand this, precious one, that he, that the Son of God, has promised to take care of you. All you have to do is follow him. Well, in chapter 8, verse 28, it says, and when he came to the other side of the country of the Gadarenes, two men who were demon-possessed met him as they were coming out of the tombs. They were so extremely violent that no one could pass that way. He's on the other side. He's walking through the area of the Gadarenes, and all of a sudden, two violent men come out. Now stop and think about it. No one can pass that way because they're so violent, and yet Jesus is able to pass that way. Why is Jesus able to pass that way? Because of who he is, because of the power that he has, because he is the Son of God, and even the demons must be subject to him. Well, listen to what it says. And they cried out, saying, what business do we have with each other, Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the time? What business do we have with you, O Son of God? Why are you here? It's amazing, isn't it? Absolutely amazing. Those demons and those two men know exactly who presence they're in. They're in the presence of the Son of God. But the Pharisees have not recognized it. The scribes have not recognized it. And many others have not recognized it. But the demons know who he is. The book of James says, you, don't you know that the demons see me and tremble? Why would they tremble? What is about to happen? We'll look at that in just a minute.
Don't you want to see an America that honors God? What can we do about it? Well, he's told us in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that we're to invest in the next generation by diligently teaching them the Word of God.
My husband and I know that it's important that our kids be rooted and grounded in God's Word. One of the tools that we've discovered to do that was Precept Boot Camp, and that's why we sent our daughter Sydney last summer. Now Sydney is not only growing in her walk with the Lord because she's studying God's Word for herself, but she's leading others and sharing with them what she learns.
So what part can you play? Will you prayerfully consider in giving to this effort in establishing young people in the United States to know God and to follow Him in His Word and make an impact on this generation?
Jesus was in the region of the Gadarenes, and there he met two men who had come out of the tombs as he came along the road, two men that were so absolutely violent that no one could pass that way. And yet Jesus was able to pass that way. Why? Because those men who had a legion of demons in them recognized that he was the Son of God. They knew their fate. They understood that the Son of God had come, but they said, why have you come before the time? They understood it was not yet the time of judgment. Let's look at it in Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 29, it is said, "And they cried out, saying, What business do we have with each other, Son of God?" What business? What do you and I have in common? What fellowship has darkness with light, with the power of Satan, with the kingdom of God? They knew that they were defeated. They knew that their fate had been written. And yet, you know what? They were not going to stop doing their work until the time came. If the devil and his demons have that kind of determination, how much more should you and I be determined that until the end of the time, we are going to follow Jesus? Until the end of time, we are going to give our all to the kingdom of God. You can imagine what's happening in the disciples' lives right now. Because what has happened is this. They have seen Jesus calm the sea. They have seen Jesus stop the wind. And they have said, "What kind of man is this?" And what they don't realize is that, in essence, that they can be the same kind of man. That the power that is in Jesus is the same power that can be in them. This is what Ephesians talks about. Ephesians talks about us as believers understanding that exceedingly great power, that power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him in heavenly places far above, listen carefully, all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named in heaven and earth. And when he's talking that way, he's talking about the principalities and powers of darkness. He's talking about that hierarchy that is under Satan, that hierarchy that is at war with the angels of heaven and down here with men. And they go on to say, "Now there was a herd of many swine feeding at a distance from them. And the demons began to entreat him, saying, 'If you're going to cast us out, send us into the herd of swine.' And he said to them, 'Go.' And they came out and went into the swine. And the whole herd rushed down the steep bank right into the sea and perished in the waters. And the herdsmen ran away and went to the city and reported everything, including what had happened to the demoniacs. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus." Now listen, "And when they saw him, they implored him. They implored him. They said, 'Get out of here. Leave the region. Don't stay here.'" Honestly, I think, why? Why would you tell him to leave when you see these two men who were maniacs, who were so violent that they would stop you along the road? Why would you implore him to leave when you saw him simply speak to the demons after the demons spoke to them, and you would hear all the details, and they go into the swine, and the swine rush into the sea and are drowned? Why? Why? Why is it, precious one, that we are afraid of the power of God? We either totally disregard it, or we're afraid of it and we say, "I don't want any part of it." What I would like to do, and this is not usually my style, as you know, in studying the Gospel of Matthew, because I want to focus on that, but I want to take you to Mark chapter 5, because Mark chapter 5 gives us an even intimate look into what happened. It says in verse 2 that when he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with unclean spirits met him. Now, it's telling us about one of the two. Matthew tells us that there was two. This man had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain, because he had been often bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken into pieces, for no one was strong enough to subdue him. Here was a man, and he had a supernatural strength, and they would put the chains on him, and he could break the chains, and no human being could subdue him. and constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains and gnashing himself with stones. He would just pick up the stones from the ground and he would beat himself and beat himself. He would run among the tombs. He would run among the dead because he was dead. There was no hope for him. And shouting with a loud voice, seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and he bowed down before him. And shouting with a loud voice, he said, "What business do we have with each other, Son of Man, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me." What you have to understand is, it's the demons that are speaking. It's not the man that is speaking. The demons are controlling him. And it says, "For he had been saying to him, 'Come out of the man, you unclean spirit.'" Jesus had been saying that when he met him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And yet the demons were saying, "What are you having to do with us?" And you see the confrontation. And then it says, and he was asking him, "What is your name?" And he said to him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he began to implore him earnestly not to send him out of the country. The demons knew and understood the power of the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Son of the Most High God. And he knew, they knew that he had authority. "Don't send us out of the country." And he goes on to say, "Now there was a large herd of swine feeding nearby on the mountains, and the demons implored him, 'Send us into the swine so we may enter them.'" Now listen, and Jesus gave them permission. Oh, beloved, I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to follow you. And Jesus says, "Okay, the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Do you still want to follow me?" "I want to follow you, Jesus, but let me wait. Let me wait and bury my father." "No, let the dead bury the dead." This is who he is. He is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. Oh, beloved, why do we hesitate? He is the one that calms the storm, that speaks and stops the wind. He is the one that speaks to the demons and gives them permission to go into the swine. And it goes on to say, "And coming out, the unclean spirits entered into the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them." "What is your name?" "My name is Legion, for we are many." Were there 2,000 demons in that man? 2,000 demons? Was that what it was that sent 2,000 swine into the sea? And the herdsmen ran away and reported it to the city. They came to Jesus and they observed the man who had been demon-possessed, sitting down, clothed, and in his right mind, at last at rest, the very man who had the legion. And they became frightened. Oh, beloved, this is the one that you and I are to follow. This is the one to whom has been given all power and authority in heaven and on earth. This is the Son of Man. The Son of Man who, after he dies, is buried and resurrected and ascends to the Father, is going to live to make intercession for us and eventually to come to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Precious, precious one. Would we not be fools not to follow him? No matter what the cost now, glory follows. Hi, I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically. But I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation. It's not a luxury. It's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, "This trip is so much fun. I learned so much." But I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship.
laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened.
As I stand here by the shores of the Sea of Galilee, with the city of the Gadarenes behind me across on the opposite part of the Sea of Galilee. As you think about that man who was possessed with a legion of demons, as you think about that man whom they found seated and clothed and in his right mind, do you wonder what happened to him? Well, Matthew doesn't tell us, but Mark tells us. And it's in what Mark tells us that I want you and me, beloved, to find our precepts for life today. It says in verse 17 that the people at the Gadarenes began to implore him to leave their region. And as he was getting into the boat, the man who was demon-possessed, was imploring him that he might accompany him. And you can understand. I want to follow you. I want to go with you. He's been set free. He's been violent. He's been in chains. He's broken those chains. And now he's seated and he's clothed and he's in his right mind. Of course he would want to follow him. And it says, and he did not let him. You can't go with me. But he said to him, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you. Now listen, and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. When was the last time, precious one, that you began to share with others the great things that God has done for you? Do you know that it's so important for you and me, beloved, to be sharing with the world that we've met the Son of Man, who's the Son of God, who calms the seas, who stops the wind, and who sets men free from the powers of darkness? I wonder how many mental institutions are filled with people who are not mentally ill, but demon-possessed. Demon-possessed because they've turned away from the Son of God or because they've opened the door and the evil spirits have come in. I wonder how many of them could be set free if they could simply hear about the Son of Man, who is the Son of God, who came to set us free. For if the Son shall set you free, precious one, you shall be free indeed. You may not be able to go where you want to go, but you do have His call to you. Go and tell them what great things the Son of Man, the Son of God, has done for you. And He was obedient. He went and He did it.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.